Looking for you to see how did you make it through Laodicea, little bride. Why, how did you stand in the worst of times? How did you stand in the most evil of days? And we'll be able to say, it was by grace.
Amen.
It was by the grace of God that I made it. It wasn't by merits of something that I done on my own, but it was something that God put on the inside of me. It was, what was it? It was a holding power. It was something that He placed there, and He predestinated me before the foundation of the world. He predestinated you before the foundation of the world to stand.
Amen.
This day.
That's right.
Are you thankful for that this
yes.
evening? Amen. Well, I've counted a great privilege and honor and to be here tonight. I appreciate the invitation from Brother Tony and having the confidence in us to come and to put our shoulder to the wheel with part of the bride tonight.
Yes.
Amen. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with us to Psalms chapter 68. We'll begin reading with verse 1. Psalm 68, and we'll begin reading with verse 1. You love the Lord tonight?
Amen.
Amen.
Has He been good to you?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. I'd like to look at a little thought this evening on overcoming your chains of circumstance. Overcoming your chains of circumstance.
Amen.
Now, I'm not talking about your neighbor's chains. I'm not talking about your brother's chains or your sister's chains. I'm talking about personal. I'm talking about your chains tonight.
Yes.
You know, undoubtedly, if I was to ask each and every one of you tonight, if there was something holding you tonight, undoubtedly somebody could tell me their situation and their circumstance. Let's look at this tonight. Psalms chapter 68, verse 1. Let God arise. Well, that's me. That's me. That's you. Let God arise. Who are you? You are the God of this day. You're the God. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Right.
It's Christ in you. What is the real you? It's who's on the inside of you, Brother Tony.
Right.
It's the way. It's that who you are is what's on the inside, and what's on the inside it has to manifest and come to the outside. Let God arise and let His enemies be scattered. Let your enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate Him flee before Him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad.
Yes.
Let them rejoice. You ought to have something to rejoice about tonight. You ought to be the happiest people on the face of the earth tonight. Why? Because you can see. You have eyes that can see tonight. Blessed are you because you have eyes that can see and ears that can hear. Amen.
Right.
As we begin to look at this, God bless you. You can have your seats tonight. As we begin to look at this tonight, overcoming your chains of circumstance. I better finish my scripture and then we'll get to preaching here. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God. Sing praises to His name. Exalt Him with Him that rideth upon the heavens by His name, Jehovah, and rejoice before Him. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in His holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in dry lands. We bow our heads this evening, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, as we come before You tonight, Father, and Lord, we've read Your Scripture tonight, Father. Lord, truly, Father, we could say tonight, Father, Lord, it's been good to be in Your house tonight, Father. Lord, I ask, Father, that, Lord, as we've read Your Word tonight, Father, Lord, would You come and would You open it up to us tonight, Father? Lord, that we might be able to see a little clearer who we are tonight, Father, and where we came from, Father. Lord, we might be able to identify the enemy, Father, and his tactics, Father. Lord, that we might be able to wage a good warfare tonight, Father. Lord, I ask, dear God, that you would take the hearer tonight of your word, Father. Lord, would they pull from the gift, Father? Lord, yes. We know, Father, that, Lord, if they'll pull, Father, then, Lord, I believe we'll hear from the mind of heaven tonight, Father. Lord, I ask, dear God, that you would grant it, Father. Lord, would you move on the scene, I pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Overcoming your chains of circumstances. You know, if I was to ask each and every one of you what your circumstance was, undoubtedly, if I pass this mic around, every one of you could come up with a situation or a circumstance as to why you can't do something. I can't because my arm hurts. I can't raise my hands to God because my arm hurts. Or I can't praise the Lord because my voice is gone. Well, I can't clap my hands because my fingers hurt. You know, everybody would have a circumstance that the devil would try to put on it. But we're talking tonight about overcoming your chains of circumstances tonight. I want to talk to you tonight about a God that's able, that the Bible says He bringeth out those that are bound with chains. And that let me tell you something, the devil will do nothing but bind you with a chain of circumstance. Why? Because he's trying to keep you below your God-given means. He's trying to keep you from praising God. He's trying to keep you from pressing into the presence of Almighty God. Come on, somebody. Right. He's trying to keep you from way down here. You know, you realize that you can praise those chains away. You realize that it takes you and I doing something to pull the literal presence of Jesus Christ down in amongst us tonight. You say, Ben, even tonight in a crowd of just a few people, even tonight, God wants to do something for you. Right. Even tonight, God wants to deliver you out of your chains of circumstances that the enemy has tried to put on you. Even tonight, if we'll but pull and press our way into that literal presence of Jesus Christ, I tell you, all hell will tremble tonight. Why? Because somebody will find the victory tonight. Somebody will take the club out of his hand and they'll begin to beat him with it and put him on the run with it. Why? Because you are a mighty army. You are more than conqueror. Oh my, you're not a survivor. You realize there will not be a survivor in heaven. There will not be one survivor in heaven.
Right.
Not one. Yeah. There ain't going to be a survivor. But there will be overcomers. You realize that you are not called to be a survivor, but you are an overcomer. You will not survive Laodicea. Now, a survivor is just simply merely somebody that can say, oh, well, I survived. I made it through barely by the skin of my teeth that I make it through. That's a survivor. But an overcomer said, I've seen the opposition, and I went and I've waged a good warfare. And I was able to face the enemy, and I was able to overcome. You realize there is not a place in the military for a coward. There's not a place in the military for somebody that's going to lay down and do nothing. But the military is looking for somebody that will stand up and say, I'll take your ground. I'll take that ground from the enemy. You realize every battle is over land. Every battle is over land. And what are you made up of? You're made up of
dirt.
That's right. We're talking about land tonight. Every battle is made up, and it is over land. The devil wants your land, but you've got to fight to keep your land. Hello? Hello, you got to fight to keep it. Oh my, every inch that the military gains, it's an inch closer to the end of the war. It's an inch closer. It's another victory. It's another footstep of promise. Hello, it's another footstep of possession. Amen. It's something that as they begin to fight, it's not easy out there. It's not easy out there in the world whenever Satan comes and he buffets you and he tries to put whatever he can on you. He tries to put sickness on you. He tries to put doubt in you. You realize that they're trying so hard to disprove this message of the hour today. Right. And today, if Satan can plant just a little seed of doubt within your mind that he has conquered you. Hello?
Right.
If he can place doubt
in that mind that he has conquered you. But yet God will raise a standard against that. You realize that in Jesus' days, the Pharisees tried to disprove that too. On every corner, there was somebody trying to disprove Jesus.
That's right.
And today, on every corner, there's somebody trying to disprove the message of the hour.
That's right.
But it's by revelation. It's by the revelation of that God has given you. What is revelation? It's by faith. Faith is revelation. Amen. It's by faith that you're going to possess the gates of the enemy. It's by faith that you're going to overcome those chains of circumstances.
Yes.
Chains simply means, there's many different meanings for chains, but I just took a few. Chains means bonds, fetters, or shackles. Captivity or oppression. Bondage. You realize you take a prisoner in today's society, if you take one of the prisoners and they bring them out in this little suit, orange suit, and many times they'll be bound with a shackle. They'll be bound with shackles, Brother Tony, and they'll come out and they'll walk around, and what do they have? They're bound with shackles by their arms and their feet, and there's a chain that secures those two together, and they walk with them shackles. Somebody somewhere down the line took their freedom away. At one time, they was free. They was free to raise their hand. But now they no longer have that freedom because there's been a shackle of circumstances that's got on them. There's been a devil that's got on them. I'm typing it. You're going to have to follow me.
Right.
There's been
yeah.
a devil that's got right. on them. And they can't raise that hand no more because there's a chain of circumstances holding them. But if they could ever get that hand up, then they would be free. You realize that tonight, you lack. You and I, many times as we're sitting in a service, we have need of something, but all we lack is simply doing something.
Amen.
All we lack is simply moving.
Right.
You know, we're the frozen chosen. You know, we sit there and we just, I better not move. No, I don't believe God's that way.
Right.
I don't believe God wants you to sit here and do nothing. But I believe wherever God is, there's a stir. I believe that whenever Jesus walked through the streets and there was a blind beggar standing there, and he began to scream, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." What was it? The blind beggar began to hear a commotion.
Right.
Blind beggar began to hear a stir in the city. And he began to say, "Hey, there's something happening around this place. Something's going on." You know, people, you go into a bunch of massive churches and it's all it is is a glorified morgue. That's all it is. It's a morgue with a bunch of live people that don't move. But God's not in that, but God inhabits the praises of His people. God, we've got to press through. That's what it's coming down to. I believe we will praise our way into a rapture.
Yeah.
I believe if you don't like it here, then you better not never make it over there. If it's too loud here, you better not never make it over there. And you better hope your mansion ain't by mine. Because I'm going to drive you crazy. Because I'm going to be just a little bit loud. Because I realize what I came out of. I was nothing but a pilgrim and a stranger passing through. But God came down one day and He called me out and He said, "Come out of her. Oh my, come out of her, my people. Be not partakers of her plagues." Amen. And right then and there, my chains of circumstances fell to the ground, and I was able to step out on faith and say, "Oh my, by God's grace, I am saved. I am redeemed."
Amen.
Amen. Is there any redeemed among us tonight?
Yes.
Is there anybody here that'll say, "I am redeemed. I've been called out. I have a reason to praise my King tonight. I will defy those chains that the devil puts on me. And I will praise my way into the very presence of Almighty God because I have a need tonight."
Amen.
I have a need and I'll praise my way to His presence.
Yes.
Oh my, I don't believe that the little woman with the issue of blood, I don't believe it was an easy little trip that she took trying to get to Jesus. But the Bible said there was many oppositions that stood in front of her. There was this person dragging her this way. There was that person dragging her that way. But she said, I must press through and touch the hem of His garment.
Yes.
Well,
I ask you tonight, will somebody press through and touch the hem of his garment? You have a need tonight. Will you find him? Will you find him? Will you press through the opposition? Will you press through the chains? I'm talking about defying them tonight. We're talking about overcoming them. We're not talking about just living with them and being okay with it, but we're talking about overcoming them. You realize that's where the devil's gotten many people? Well, they feel like they're okay.
Yep.
He's made them numb.
Yeah.
He's made them numb, and they feel like they're okay. Well, I'll be all right. No, I don't think it's going to be an all right religion. It's got to be an I know so religion. It's going to be something that somebody can say, you know, I know beyond any shadow of doubt where I stand in this day.
Yes.
Hello?
Right.
But he's put that on people to where they just feel like, oh, well, they're okay. What would have happened if the little lady with the issue of blood, if she would have decided she'd be okay? What would have happened to the little lady with the issue of blood if she had decided that, oh, I'll be okay, I'll be fine? No, there was nothing in her that said that she wanted to stay where she was.
Right.
That's the problem today. We get too comfortable with where we're at and don't want to move on forward into the revealing of the Word. We don't want to move forward into the opening of the Word. Why? Because we become comfortable and complacent where we're at. But it takes God. God is continually moving. That pillar of fire leading the children of Israel, it was continually moving. That pillar of fire continued to move. And if the children of Israel didn't move with their pillar of fire, then they would have been lost. But they had to move with it.
Yeah.
Amen. Excuse me. But that little woman with the issue of blood, you realize that if she hadn't have pressed through, it was hard. It was hard to overcome. It was hard to take the step. It's not, God didn't invite you, ask you onto a picnic, but He asked you into a battlefield. He didn't call you to a picnic, but He called you to a battlefield. And tonight, if you're gonna make it through, you must stand. You must stand and you must fight and you must press. What happens? We fail. And we can't seem to press through to that presence of Almighty.
Amen.
Because let me tell you something, only in that presence of God will we be delivered. Right. Only in that presence of Jehovah does chains fall. Only in that presence of God will you find deliverance.
Amen.
Only in the presence of God will you find a rapture. I'm asking you tonight, who can say that they want to feel God move?
Amen.
Who can say that they want to feel God come down? Amen. And they want to feel Him and they want to... You know, people say that we're beyond those things, and I know it's not based off of sensation, but let me tell you, and it's not based off of emotion, but anything without emotion, I can prove to you, is dead.
Yes.
I realize that it's not based off of those things, but I do also believe that we've got to have... I don't believe we can do away with the presence of Almighty God. I don't believe we can put Him off in a corner somewhere and say, as Simon done one day, as
right.
He put Him off in a corner somewhere, and He said, well, don't you move right there. He set Him off in a corner there, and He didn't even wash His feet. But you realize that we do that in the churches many times today. We'll set Him in a corner somewhere without worshiping Him, without ever getting Him out of the corner. But God's got to come out of the corner before He can ever move on your circumstance or your situation. Hello? God's got to be able to, God's got to be free in our lives to be able to move.
Amen.
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 Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Let's look at somebody that had circumstances. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. You realize that's the devil. Oh my, he's out to get you. He's not out to get a church, but he's out to get a bride. Because he don't care about that church because he's done got them. But he's out after you, little bride. Why? Because you are the chosen one. You're the one that he's got to get to. He's got the denomination out there, Brother Tony. But he's after you. All hell is pointed at you, little bride.
Right.
stretched forth the Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it please the Jews, he proceeded further. You realize that's the way the devil is today.
Right.
Oh my, you'll give him an inch and he'll take a mile, Brother Tony.
That's right.
The Bible said he proceeded further. We're talking about Herod, but we're typing it back.
Right.
Just follow
Amen.
Me tonight.
That's
you realize right. that the devil is that, that he his tactics is very shrewd. He's very shrewd. You might have been flipping through the stations, driving down your car, and oh my, a little tune from when you was a kid might have come on the radio. Before you know it, your foot's tapping.
Right.
We're talking about I'm exposing the enemy tonight.
Right.
I'm exposing the devil. But you're flipping through and all of a sudden your foot starts tapping. He's caught you. And you think, oh, well, that ain't so bad. That's not a bad thing. And before you know it, you're listening to it more and more. And then this station over here grabs you. And then that one over there grabs you. What is it? It's the devil trying to take your ground away from you. And he's trying to beat you back down to where you cannot live a life of victory.
That's right.
To where you can't live a life of victory. Because he saw us please the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him from four quartations of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer without ceasing of the church unto God was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now there was a difference. Peter might have been in prison, but there was something that was taking place that nobody could see. That Peter didn't even read. You realize it didn't say Peter was sitting there in prison praying. Nowhere did I read that Peter was praying in prison. But somebody else was pressing through and touched the hem of his garment. Somebody else went to battle for Peter.
That's right.
We're talking about overcoming your chains of circumstances. I want you to look at your neighbor tonight, and I want you to see how every one of these that's represented here tonight, you have as much a responsibility for them as they do. You have as much responsibility for them as they do. Why? Because what's going to make it there? Perfect love.
Amen.
What's at the top of that capstone?
Right.
It's perfect love.
Right.
Well, I can't agree with this one because, well, she done me wrong. Well, why, you know, Brother Branham could disagree with you, but he could still put his arm around you and call you brother Tony.
Right.
He could put his arm around you and call you brother. What was it? It was perfect love showing forth. Well, I can't pray for that one because he done this to me. No, it doesn't matter what they done, but what matters is that you're able to be Christian enough and you're able to be God-filled enough to where you're able to say, brother, I might disagree with you, but I agree to disagree, and yet we're still brothers. I still can say that I love you. Many times the devil will come in and he'll drive a wedge in the church. He'll drive a wedge between this one, and before you know it, you got funny feelings between this one. But it don't just stop right there.
That's
because
right.
The devil will take an inch and he'll take a mile. You give him an inch, he'll take a mile. So it starts with this two here. And before you know it, it starts going from person to person to person to person. What is it? It's the devil in the church.
Yeah. That's right.
And he's got to be exposed.
Right.
You realize you don't know how to treat something until first you know what it is. You're treating.
Right.
A doctor can't look at you. You can go to him and tell him you're sick all that you want. But until he identifies exactly what is wrong, he has no way of treating you.
That's right.
Until you identify that devil. Until I identify. Hello, somebody. Come on, somebody. Until I identify that devil. Yeah, let me tell you something. He will take and he will keep you powerless.
That's right. Yeah.
It might seem simple, but yet he will keep you powerless. Amen.
That's right.
Nowhere did it say Peter was praying, but somebody touched the hem of the garment of Jesus for Peter. Verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains. Peter had circumstances.
Yeah.
Peter had a situation on his hands. Peter had a circumstance, and he wasn't going nowhere, buckwheat. He was stuck. Let me tell you something. Many of you might sit here and feel that way tonight. You might feel like you're stuck, but let me tell you something. Tonight there can be a prison break. Tonight there can be a prison break. You might feel like you're bound with chains of fear. Maybe that devil's got you bound with a chain of fear. But let me tell you something. Tonight there can be a prison break. And maybe he's got you bound with a chain of sickness. Tonight you can break free.
Amen.
Amen.
Peter had circumstances. Sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came unto him, and the light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side. In other words, Peter was laying there, and something had to compel him to do something.
Yeah.
Peter, you can't just lay there. You got to get up, son. You got to do something. You can't just lay here because I've opened the door for you. Now, if you lay there, you can't go through the door. But the door's wide open if you'll get up and you'll go walk through it, Peter. The door's wide open. Now get up, son. And he smote Peter on the side and said, rise up. Saying, rise quickly. Do something quickly. Don't just sit there. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. Do something. Raise your hand. You realize your neighbor might get their healing just off of something that you do.
Yes, that's right.
Something that you do might decrease your neighbor's faith enough to accept their healing.
Amen.
How many times have we sat in a congregation in a church and we have let God pass us by because we felt a nudge to do something and we was disobedient to the call? We're talking about change of circumstances. We're all human. We're all human, and you might as well take your halos off and put them in your back pocket because we're all human here tonight.
Right.
That same devil that works on you, guess what? He's the same devil that works on me and Brother Tony.
That's right.
He's that same devil. We got to fight him every day just like you do. But greater is he that is within us, within
Amen.
You,
That's
than
right.
he that is in this world. You will not be a survivor in this day, but you will be an overcomer.
Amen.
Amen. Rise up quickly. Now notice whenever Peter done something. Now what would have happened if Peter would have just laid there, Brother Tony?
Right.
What would have happened if Peter hadn't have been obedient to the call? What would have happened if he hadn't have been obedient to that still small voice? It says, and his chains fell from his hands.
Yes.
Immediately. It didn't say it took months or years. You know, we got this thing about of God. Well, he'll probably do it, but it might be years down the road, Brother Tony. No, he's a God. He's the I Am God.
Amen.
He's the God of the past, future, and the present. Amen. He's the God that is I Am. He's not a God of yesterday. He's not a God of the future. I'm not interested in a God of yesterday and a God of the future. I'm interested in a God that's I Am right now. I'm interested in a God that can speak to my need right now.
Amen.
Hello? Right. I'm interested in a God that can move on the scene right now. I have need of Him at the moment.
Amen.
I don't need Him. I will need Him tomorrow. Follow me. I will need Him tomorrow, but at the moment, I need Him right now.
Amen.
And we look and we're just satisfied with maybe someday He'll answer my prayer. No, God, I need You right now.
Amen.
Just like that woman and the unjust judge. She kept coming back, coming back, coming back, coming back. And then finally, one day, he got tired of seeing her. She knew that if she stayed on his hand, you realize that we'll offer up a prayer. You know, them people that was praying for Peter, I don't believe that it was just, Lord, help Brother Peter.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
But I believe it was fervent. I believe it was... They got down in there and they got their hands dirty, so to speak. They got down in there and they begin to pray and they begin to press. And you and they begin to press their way into that presence. You realize that you can't just sit down and pray and in 5 minutes be in the presence. Sometimes you can.
Right.
Depending on the situation. Right. But many times it takes pressing.
That's right.
Pressing. You realize if you can't go to sleep at night, why don't you try to pray?
Right.
And that is the best sleeping pill known to man. Every time you open your mouth to start, you're wide awake till you open up your mouth to start praying. Then every devil in hell jumps on your eyelids.
Right.
Jumps right on your eyelids and you're sitting there, man.
That's right.
I can't keep them things open. Why? Because he knows that if you ever press through and you find Jesus and you really get serious with him, he knows that he will lose his ground. He knows that he'll lose that land that he stole from you. He knows that if you'll ever press through and if you ever get serious with God, then he will absolutely be powerless.
That's right.
They begin to tremble. You realize you can live a life that is so filled with God that whenever you get out of bed in the morning and your feet hit the ground, the devil, he says, oh God, he got up again. You realize you can live a life that sets hell to trembling, to where the devil himself don't know what to do with you. You absolutely can't. I want to live in the presence of God and be in that presence so greatly to where the devil doesn't know what he's going to do with me. Hello?
Amen.
Overcoming your chains of circumstances. Everybody's got them. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and said, and raised him up, saying, rise quickly. And his chains fell from off his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind thy sandals. In other words, you've got somewhere to go.
That's right.
You've got somewhere to go. Now it's time to get up and move. Now it's time to put your shoes on, Peter, because you're coming out of that prison house.
Right.
It's time to get up and move, Peter. Gird thyself and bind thy sandals. Bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment around thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward. Now notice, he didn't just get Peter out of the situation, but he began to lead Peter through. He didn't just get Peter out of the situation, but he began to lead Peter through the situation. He began to show him a way out, Brother Tony. He began to guide him and direct him. How many believes the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of God?
Amen.
Amen. How many believes that the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of God?
Right.
I believe that they are.
Amen.
And I believe that God's able to lead you. He won't just free you, but he'll show you a way out of the prison house. He'll not only set you free, but he'll walk with you through it.
Amen.
He'll not only not only take the chains off of you, but he'll see you through to the end.
Amen.
And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. Now he's opening doors for him. It didn't say that Peter grabbed a hold of the gate and opened it. It said the gate opened of its own accord.
That's right.
It said the gate opened of its own accord.
Amen.
So now, not only is he leading him through, not only did he get him out, not only did he set him free, not only did he lead him through, but now he's opened the door for him.
Right.
And he's saying, Peter, will you walk through? I asked you, Peter, will you walk through?
Right.
Peter. Peter. Wake up. What binds you tonight, saints? I don't know your hearts, but God does.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of you knows what your battle is. I don't. Brother Tony don't. But God does tonight. I asked you, Peter, will you get up? Peter, will you raise your hands? Peter, will you press through and find Jesus? I'm going to lead you through, Peter. I'm going to not only lead you through, but I'm going to open the gate for you. Will you press through, Peter? Iron gate, the leader, when they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through on one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. But the angel didn't just leave him high and dry, but the angel walked with him through that situation. My mind goes back to Arnold Van Winkler. Many of you know the story that Brother Branham told of Arnold Van Winkler. One day, you know, there was these peasants, and they was out, and they had all they really wanted to do was normal people like you and I. All they really wanted to do was raise their families and till their fields and raise their crops. But one day somebody wanted to come in, and they wanted to oppress them, and they wanted to bind them up, and they wanted to take their freedom away. But there was a man by the name of Arnold Van Winkler. One day an invading army came in, and it was trampling down all Switzerland, just leaving chaos behind, burning their homes, killing their children, ravaging their wives, and killing their young off, and driving away their stock and their livelihood, burning up their farms, what they could not eat, and so forth. The great invader was moving on. Nothing could stop them. How many times has that invader moved on, and it feels like you're losing ground every day? It feels like the devil is taking everything away from you. It feels like sometimes the devil is even taking your religion away. Oh, am I the only one that fights that devil? Am I the only one that fights the devil that's all the time telling me you ain't saved and ain't no way you can be? Am I the only one that fights that guy? You ain't saved, and there ain't no way you can be because of what you done back there. No, by my works I can't, devil. But by what God done for me some 2,000 years ago, I am saved.
Amen.
It's not by me, but what I done. It's not by my work, by my merit, but what God done for me. I am saved, and there's nothing you can do about it, devil.
Boo, devil.
You can tell, you realize that he might tell you that, but the very fact that he's telling you that is proof to me that you are saved.
Right.
Because if he has a bother with telling you that you ain't saved, he must be really scared of you.
That's right.
He must be really scared of you trying to take your power away from you. He must be really nervous thinking, oh my, if he ever really does believe he's saved, what am I going to do with him? Amen. What am I going to do with him, Brother Tony, if it ever sinks down inside of here? You realize Brother Tony can change my mind. Brother Tony can change my mind, but if it's ever a heart revelation, Tony will never be able to take it out of there because he never put it there.
Right.
He never put it there to take it out. Man can change this, but if it ever comes from here into here, amen, you'll never be moved from it because you know that you know. It's no longer a mind knowledge, but now it's a heart knowledge. And you're able to walk and you're able to overcome by that. You're able to overcome the enemy by that faith. Arnold Van Winkler, he sits there and all they really wanted to do was raise their children. You realize we're talking about overcoming your chains of circumstances, and we'll try to bring it to a close here pretty quick. But here they was sitting there, and this invading army come in and out. That's how the devil is. He'll come in and he'll overwhelm you until you can't. He'll make you so busy at work. He'll make you so busy at work until you can't read and you can't pray. You can't study. He'll make them kids act up like crazy. You know, I can walk into my house. How many believe you're a creator? How many believe you're a creator? You are a creator. You can create an atmosphere. You realize I can walk into my house And my kids, all those three kids, them ain't just angels back there all the time. Them are good kids, but sometimes they're kids. I can walk into that house and them kids can have my wife fit to be tied. Fit to be tied. You know, and I can tell when I walk in there something is wrong. Very seriously wrong. And I have a choice to make right then and there, guys.
Right.
Brothers.
That's right.
I have a choice to make right then and there whenever I walk into my home. I can add to that, or I can change that. You realize I can walk into my home, and as my kids are pulling on their mother's shirt tail and saying, "Mommy this and Mommy that," and she's about to snap, I can walk in there and I can take that apron. Now, you say, "Ben, now you've gone too far. Guys just don't do this." Well, let me tell you something. If you love your wife, you'll do anything for her. You can walk in there and you can take that apron from off of your wife and you can put it around your neck and you can wash the dishes. We're talking about creators. We're talking about creating an atmosphere. I don't want that atmosphere because that atmosphere came from the pits of hell. Yeah. You can call it kids or you can call it whatever you want, but I'm going to call it from the pits of hell because it's not a godly atmosphere. Anything that's contrary to His Word come from where? The pits of hell. And if it doesn't line up with that word, then I can identify the thing and I can say, "Get rid of it." But I can walk in there and I can change that atmosphere. You say, "Ben, now that's going a little bit too far. That's a little over the top, the whole apron thing." You realize that if you do that, I don't know why I'm here. I can take that apron and I can put it around my neck. And I can begin to wash them dishes and I can begin to talk to her. And the atmosphere will change like that. Why? Because I chose to do something about it.
Amen. Amen.
I chose to change that atmosphere. But Arnold Van Winkler, I've got to get back to that or I'm never going to get it done. Arnold Van Winkler, he began to look and he began to see that invading army. And he looked up there and you realize that these guys, these men was just simple farmers. They was peasants. All they had, all they knew was pitchforks and shovels and hoes and rakes and things like that. They didn't know nothing about that, about swords and spears and shields. Why? Because they were simple men. And they looked and they was backed off into a corner. Many times you'll be backed into a corner. And back in that corner, you'll find out what you're made of. Back in that corner, you'll find out what you're made of. And there he was. He was sitting there and he looked up on that hill. And I could see him sitting there and everybody was scared to death. He looked up there on that hill. And he seen all the well-trained men. He seen the swords and the shields and the spears. And he looked and he thought, "There ain't no way. It's hopeless." Many times your devil will look hopeless. Many times your Goliath looks hopeless. And he looks and he says, "There ain't no way. I can't do that." It might as well have been a brick wall to Arnold Van Winkler. But he looks and he began to think. He began to think, if somebody don't stand up, then who will? So something moves on him and he stands up and he says, "Men of Switzerland." He says, "Men of Switzerland, this day I'll die for Switzerland. This day I'll stand for what I believe in. This day I'm going to do something. If nobody else will, if the deacon won't stand, if the trustee won't stand, if the pastor won't stand, I'll stand." And he stands up and he says, "This day I'll die for Switzerland." And he says, "Down there in the valley is my wife and children. They're expecting me to come home tonight, but I will not be there tonight because I'm going to die for what I believe in." He stood up. And they looked at him and I could see them looking at him and they're thinking, "That guy has lost his mind." Because they're looking at the situation, but he's looking at the victory. There's a difference in their vision. There's a difference in what they see. One sees failure and one sees a promise. One sees a failure, Brother Tony, but one sees a promise. And he looks and he says, "All you men of Switzerland, whenever I take off running, I want you to follow me. And whenever he did, I could see him. He took off running, and maybe as he ran, maybe he began to scream running down through that valley, "Boo, devil! Boo, devil! Boo, devil!" You know what I'm talking about when I say "boo, devil." The story that Brother Branham told about that devil, as that man was dreaming, he was talking about that devil, and he says, "But I had this dream, and there was this devil before me, and every time it'd say boo, I'd step back, and the devil would get bigger." He said, "I'd say boo, and I'd step back, and it'd get a little bit bigger, Brother Tony." And he said, "Every time I'd step back, that thing, that situation, that circumstance would get bigger and bigger and bigger until finally it was so big." He said, "And then finally I looked at him and I said, 'Boo, devil.' And I stepped forward. And as I did, he began to get smaller, and I began to get bigger." And he began to say how that as he began to challenge that devil. What was it? It wasn't the man challenging the devil, but it was the Word. It was the God inside of the man. As he began to say, "Boo, devil," that devil began to get smaller, and he began to get bigger. I began to think, and I was wondering the other night, I thought, you know, I wonder if he went down through there and he began to scream, "Boo, devil," as he ran through there after them soldiers. I can see him, and he began to look as he's running, and he looks and he finds where there's the most concentrated men and the biggest army. The greatest trained, the greatest men, the stoutest men, and the sharpest swords. And I begin to look at him, and as he's running, I begin to see him. He begins to look, and he finds the thickest, nor the congregated together the most. And he begins, and he looks for that spot where it looks the hopeless. And he runs. And Brother Brown said, as he ran, he jumped out, and he spread his arms wide open, and he grabbed up a bunch of them spears that was pointing at him, and he shoved them into his chest. But whenever he hit him, he broke the enemy lines. And whenever he broke the enemy lines, they was able to overcome the enemy. But what was it? It took one man in the congregation. It took one man standing up and saying, "I'll stand." Right. It took one man standing up and saying that no matter what happens, no matter what my neighbor does, no matter what my brother does, no matter what my sister does, I'll praise the Lord. No matter what this one does or that one does, I'll still praise His name. No matter if I'm sick as a dog, Lord, I'll still praise You. It took one man. And by that one man overcoming, a whole congregation overcame. A whole troop overcame from one man's victory. It wasn't big, but it was one man dying out to self.
Right.
Amen. Overcoming your chains of circumstances. I believe that we've all got them tonight, saints. And I believe that they keep us beat down, and they keep us living below our God-given rights and privileges. But I also believe that tonight there can be a prison break tonight. There's something holding you from being a Christian, from serving God the way that you want to serve Him tonight. Is something holding you? What holds you, little bride? What holds you? Is something holding you to where you can't seem to get the victory? I believe there's something, because I believe that we're all human. There's something holding you from God tonight. Would you stand on your feet with me tonight? Come to your music tonight. Could we bow our heads? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight, Father, Lord, I ask You, Father, that, Lord, You would just, Lord, if something was said, Father, that wouldn't be quite right, Father, then, Lord, would You strike it from the people's minds, Father?
Lord, would you take Father, and Lord, would you take it, Father, and take it from their minds, Father, Lord. It wouldn't be our intention, Father, to say something, Father, that would be wrong, Father. But Lord, would you forgive your servant, Father, if there's been anything, Father. Lord, I ask, Father, these people here tonight, Father, Lord, you've seen every one of them, Father, Lord, you've foreordained this earth this night before the foundation of the world, Father. Lord, I ask you, dear God, that, Lord, you would take this words that was spoken tonight, Father. Lord, as chopped up, Father, as they may have been, Father, Lord, would you take them, Father? And Lord, would they be placed, Father, to the hearts of the people, Father? Lord, that they would be able to wage a good warfare, Father. Lord, that they would be able to fight a good fight, Father. Lord, that they would be able, Father, to identify the devil, Father. Lord, that the devil, Father. Lord, would they be able, Father, to be able to recognize, Father, just who he is, Father, and be able to say, Father, that, Lord, now I see it, and now I'm able to identify it, Lord. Lord, that's part of it, Father. That's half the battle, Father. It's simply identifying that devil, Father. Because, Lord, once that devil's been identified, Father, Lord, that we know, Father, he can't stand, dear God. Lord, I ask, Father, that, Lord, you would just take, Father, and Lord, would you open up the hearts of the believer tonight, Father. Lord, that the enemy would be exposed tonight, Father. Lord, that we might be able, Father, to take, Father, another step into victory, Father. Lord, that we might press, Lord, to the mark of the high calling tonight. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would bless the saints that's represented here tonight. I pray for their sacrifices. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
More of you. There's an element there that says, well, Lord, you know, did I really deliver what I was supposed to deliver to these people? and
right.
Yes.
But see, he doesn't know the series we're doing right now on how can I overcome.
That's right.
He doesn't know that. And so there's a couple of different ways that this sermon tonight has been good for me. Because I too say, Lord, am I doing the right thing on this series? So it helps me. But just as an individual with change of circumstances, it spoke to me too.
Amen.
And so that's what the fivefold ministry is all about. It's not about a pastor. It's not about an evangelist or a teacher. It's about Jesus.
Amen.
Coming at the right time, speaking the right thing for the hearts. I wish everybody had been here.
Amen.
And I think of Brother Daniel sitting at home and sick, and if we had a live feed in, he'd probably be perfectly well.
Amen.
Having listened.
Amen.
You know, and so we thank the Lord for that. There's just so many things that Brother, he put a different perspective on a lot of things, but you know, Satan wants your dirt.
Yes, he does.
Right? Remember, and I'll put it in the terms I've been sharing with you on it, so you can see it's the same thing. We're pressed from either above or from beneath,
through
our spirit, and it's fighting to gain control of our flesh, because whichever one has control, that's the one we're going to flesh out.
That's right.
And that's the one we're going to live before the world.
Amen.
He wants our dirt.
That's right.
Amen. He wants our land. But you know what? God has given us this land.
Amen. Amen.
God has given us the promise that we can live the life of Jesus Christ
right.
in this flesh.
Amen.
Right.
That we can actually touch the lives of others. And so I really love the fivefold ministry and the way the Lord has those things. You know, he mentioned in there that Jesus, that the Lord is the I Am. And I never really thought of it about that much in some ways. But if he would have said, instead of saying I'm the I Am, if he said, well, I was, or I will be,
uh-huh.
what do you think Satan would do with that?
Mm-hmm.
Satan would magnify on that. Well, he was, but not now.
Uh-huh.
Or he will be, but not now.
Right?
Man's already prone to do that. Man's already prone to look at what God did do, what he's going to do, and fail to see what he's doing now. But he said, I'm the I Am.
That's right.
Always present to do what he said he would do.
Amen.
And so I just thank the Lord for what he has given us tonight. And I'll end it by saying this, just about the end of what he would share was, changing the circumstance starts with your decision.
Yeah.
Starts with you making a decision. You know what? What? The tool's laying there. God has shown so much to us in this hour that we know
Amen.
That he will do it.
That's right.
But for some reason, we've just got to reach over there. We've got to put it into action. We got to press on. There is a press to press and press on until the Lord actually brings those things into being.
Amen.
I'd like to sing the song, I Am Redeemed.
Amen.
Amen. That's our name. We're the bride of Christ, but I am redeemed. You mentioned that phrase in there, and I just thought that would be a good song for us to sing tonight. Brother Tim can help us with that.
Just who I am.
Lord speaks to you like he has tonight, it makes you feel weird even doing it. It's nice to know that sometimes we have our good days and we have our bad days, but it's nice to know that he is the great shepherd who's always watching over us, always knows what to do. Amen. We just want to bow our hearts in prayers. We dismiss. Heavenly Father, it's been so good to be in your house tonight. Lord, we do believe and feel that this sermon came from before the world was, Lord, specifically designed for us tonight, Lord. I know that it spoke to the hearts of your people, Lord. We can sense in your spirit, Lord, that you spoke in a way, Lord, that would help us in so many different ways. And so we ask God tonight that as we go, that you would cause these things just to stay in the hearts of your people, Lord. They would remember these things, the portion that was spoke to them tonight, that meant something to them. Lord, may they just take it with them and think about it. Lord, may you build around that more truths that would just solidify that in their daily walk. Lord, that you would just cause us to be a people, Lord, in this hour that are just so much more attuned to thy spirit, to what you would say to us, Lord. That God, in our trials, when you come, and you touch us and you say, rise up, Lord, that we will quickly put into action, Lord, that what that voice is speaking to us, Lord, that our chains would fall, Lord, that we would go forth in victory as you promised and shown in the scripture we heard tonight. We thank you, Lord, for this and ask that you bless the fellowship that will happen here in just a moment as we gather around to eat and the natural food. We ask, God, that you just be with us and, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts for tomorrow's service, Lord, that you would continue to speak. Lord, draw your people in, Lord. May they all come tomorrow, Lord, hungry for what you have for us. We ask this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.